Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Here we are again, another blessed day that the Lord has made. And I said, Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to teach about today? And he said, tell my people my return is imminent. Be ready. Well, I know y'all are ready.
Amen. Practicing the rapture drills.
Yeah. You know, it's upon us now. That was 2 years ago when the Lord first talked to me about that. When he first said it, I was wondering, was I going to make a day or a weekend? You know, but he gave you time to express the word, radio broadcast. I thought it would be in 17. I thought it would be in 18. Mm-hmm. And now, I think it'll be now. But I thank him for all the time. It takes time for the word to register. And people to make their adjustments and decisions, and God loves us. He gives us time. Every time he give people something, he give people a space of time to repent. And we're going to thank him for it. You know, every moment that he gave us to make the adjustments and get people saved, we love and pray for them and pray for the people he put on your heart. I thank God for all of that. You know, because I wouldn't want to be here after he come back. I love him, and he's always doing good things. We'll talk about that part later. But this week I was blessed. I thought about the vine and how the Lord didn't call us to bear branches, but bear fruit. I thought about that all week. I thank God for the Holy Spirit and how he helps us understand. Last week we left off on page 34, and we'll just start at the top because this is very rich. This is in the Health and Wholeness through the Holy Communion book by Joseph Prince. You know, I thank God for every man and woman of God that receive their assignments and do it. It's very important. We're one body and we all work together. And I thank God for every participant, everybody who do their part. With God, everything is important. Sometimes the smallest words, God may give you a word to say to somebody, and it can make the difference. And everything else will line up. You know, I've had the Lord to say one thing, and a lot of things lined up for me. And that's just the beauty of the blood. Our brothers and sisters, and the Holy Spirit. This is page 34. I just started at the top. It says, during the first Passover, they killed the lamb and put the blood on the doorpost. This caused the destroyer to pass over their families because God said, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you. The blood was for the people's forgiveness. The blood covered the people's sins and appeased the righteous requirements of God. But what did they do inside the house? Then, verse 8, this is Exodus 12 and 8. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. They ate the roasted lamb and the unleavened bread. This was to give them strength for the journey. It was not natural strength that they received. It was supernatural. And they obeyed him. Some things can't happen unless we trust the Lord and obey him. When I first learned about following God, he brought it to my attention. And there were many things that helped me to understand what it was to follow God. A lady kept reading, Carolyn Stevens used to read Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 every Sunday for years. And that word got in my heart. And Elder Lewis used to get his messages from the Lord. And since when I got called to the ministry in 87, I didn't know what to do, so I sought the Lord about what I was going to minister. And then when he gave me a message, sometimes it would be different than the way I thought. But I knew that this was a message from the Lord. I sensed the peace, just like whenever he relays something to me or talked to me. And I kept noticing that every time he do that for me, I learn better and I do better. And I'm clued in on the greater things. Last week we talked about how knowledge is at war with knowledge. Now Satan's knowledge is not real knowledge, just like science that tries to discredit God is not real science. You know, the Bible said that's science falsely so-called. But real scientists, like Brother Ray, they worship God. Everything that God made has a signature on it. He's a real scientist. The knowledge of God is real knowledge. The knowledge of Satan is deception or rebellion. It starts out deception for people that's not sure, and it hardens the heart until the process of the world hardens the heart, and it becomes rebellion. Unbelief is rejection against God. It doesn't want to see him. Doubt is it's a disabler. It's different than, it's not as much rebellion as it is confusion. So when the enemy's knowledge is at war with God's knowledge, whatever we receive as truth is not right. It hinders us from learning, from receiving the truth. But you have to use the truth that you learn as you learn it to do war against the deception and the rebellion. And I thank God for Charles Capps. He taught us how to control that tongue. If you can speak it, you can do it. If a person say they'll kill you, if they keep on saying it, they'll be able to. If a person say they love you, if they keep on saying it with conviction, they will. They may not even like you, but when you need them, they'll be there because they've always said, I love you. And it rises up. All of the word of God that we speak with intent to do and with dedication, we become that. The word is not just designed to give us knowledge and then we forget it. It's designed to be a part of our everyday routine. So what they did, they heard what Moses said. They saw the same tragedies that Pharaoh did that was against Egypt. And it didn't bother them. They saw the cattle, you know, the hail that was, you know, that came and killed all the Egyptians' cattle. And, you know, God thinks of everything. One time there was a hailstorm coming in, and the servants of Pharaoh heard Moses tell him that the hail was going to come. Well, they went, the wisest of them went and got their cattle and put them up. And their servants, they had servants, so they put their servants up. And so when all this was over with, the wealthiest people were the most obedient people to help build Egypt back up. The poorest one was the hard-hearted ones, because all their cattle and livestock was gone. But the wisest was there to help build Egypt up again, because God still loved Egypt, but he had to judge them. So when the word is a part of us, we can, if we know that there's a drought coming, we can store water, build cisterns. Like in the old days, they built a cistern and store up water, and then they were able to help people survive. Well, that's the purpose of prophecy, to help you know what's coming so you can prepare against it. So that's what they were doing. By obeying God, they put the blood on the lintels and the doorposts of the house. And then they ate the whole lamb, and all that they couldn't eat, they burned. They followed the instructions to a T. He said in the footnote, if the body of a shadow lamb could bring such supernatural results, how much more the body of the true lamb, of the true substance lamb, our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the real body of Christ, not the shadow. The shadow, all of them left healthy. Didn't matter how old they were. It didn't matter what was wrong. They left whole, and they walked all the way to the promised land eventually, except for the ones who died out, and they could have made it all the way, but they were not in bad physical condition. So it is with the rapture. All of God's people who get raptured, according to the word of God, we will see him as he'll give us a brand new body, and we'll see him as he is. And whatever part of our mind was not renewed, it will be at that moment when we see God face to face in a glorified body that cannot die. And the glory of God will be perfect. Everything will be perfect, just like our heart. And so we'll leave the world in a perfect condition. He said, if the body of a shadow lamp could bring such supernatural results, how much more the true substance lamp, our Lord Jesus Christ? If there's an ailment, a sickness, any problem in your body or anybody in your house, if we stand on the word, it's got to change. The sickness cannot overcome the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. We have his word on it. We have the written contract without small print. It's real. We have to put a demand on whatever we need. And it's up to us to do it. God won't do it for us. But if you're doing it, if you're in faith and your faith is not enough, God can give you the gift of faith to make the difference. In an emergency, he will. But sometimes you have to work out your own salvation. And sometimes when things are not moving along, I ask him, why? What's taking so long? What am I lacking? What's happening? And there are reasons. And so when he said that doubt can exist in different parts of your being, that clued me in on a lot. Because I knew people struggle. Michael England talked about a guy who had cancer and he was in doubt about whether God would heal him or not. And remember when that was Freedom Night one night we had years ago. And he said, the Lord asked him a question. Does your wife love you? Yeah. Well, how come you can't believe I love you? And that cleared it up. But as I left the church, I said, Lord, people do struggle with ailments, and it's a big deal. Why? And then he said, doubt can exist in different parts of your being. As long as you don't have it in your heart, you can operate by faith. But the problem is, doubt can exist in your body. You may look for the symptoms, and it will creep into your mind, and eventually, once it gets in your heart, it cuts your faith off. It stops it. So it gave me something to work with. I never thought about it that way. And there are many things that we don't think. We're under 100. Nobody in this room is over 100 years old. And that's just 10% of what Adam lived. I mean, the knowledge, the Holy Spirit is here to help us in our need. And we have access to all of his knowledge. But when things are not moving along, I don't sweat. I ask the Lord why. And then we'll get it straight. One thing about it, we're going to live forever, and we have all the time. And we have time. Satan the one that don't have time. Okay, we'll pick up on page 35 next week. This is rich. I'm not in a rush to do this because it's just rich. You know, everything of God just is a blessing. Okay. As we take communion, consider your victory. Let's read it together. He said, thank you, Jesus, for your broken body. It is for my healing, my spouse's healing, and my children's healing. Thank you that by your stripes, the beatings you bore, by the lashes which fell on your back, we are completely healed. I believe and I receive. Thank you, Jesus, for the new covenant cut in your blood. Your blood has brought me forgiveness and washed me from every sin. I thank you that your blood has made me righteous. And as I drink, I celebrate and partake of the inheritance of the righteous, which is preservation, healing, wholeness, and prosperity. I thank the Lord for all that he's done, all that he's doing, and how he helps us in life. And I just can't thank him enough. The Lord, I thank you for moving mightily in our lives. Help us to go forward. I know that your return is very, is imminent. Help us to do all that's in your heart with the remaining moments. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.